Welcome to the podcast. I'm John Tesh with Give Gerard. Lots of fun stuff happening in our world right now. The new Tesh.com is live, and our new John Tesh Piano Method has launched. You can find that on the Tesh.com homepage as well. But let's get started here and now with a question. Who's shoplifting from the self-checkout? It's rich people. Nearly one in five people give with an income of $100,000 or more admitted to intentionally stealing something while they were at the self-checkout. Three times more theft than the average person using self-checkout. Why? Terrence Schulman is a therapist and a lawyer at the Schulman Center, and he says, of course, some people shoplift because they have a need, but wealthy people steal for other psychological reasons. Some do it because they have a thrill-seeking compulsion. Some people with a higher income may also steal because they feel like they deserve something for free for the inconvenience of having to do what they consider a menial task. This is you. This is you. Okay, so you're not stealing, but this is you.
I want to be very clear. I am not stealing from the self-checkout.
No, but you want something.
But I do feel like I am an employee at the self-checkout. Outline and therefore I'm deserving of
a raise.
or at least the employee discount.
Just some ring dings.
I just want the employee discount. Just give it to me for 40% off or whatever the employee discount is.
Gosh.
I deserve that. So it's that licensing effect. And again, you're talking about people that don't need it to be able to eat. They don't need to steal the food. It's not like Aladdin. It is a licensing thing where it's, hey, you're making me do the work. I should get something out of this. Yeah. I absolutely understand the psychology. I don't steal. I don't do that. But I do understand the psychology of it.
Listen, if you steal, if you walk out of there, if you're listening to us at that self-check, they will stop you. They will. They arrest people to do it.
Yes.
Who do this. If you get caught, it's not a good thing.
Yeah. And they just say you need the employee discount.
Yeah. All right. Many people like me love rewatching movies. Rereading books, even going on the same vacations again and again. This is so me.
It's both of us.
Yeah, you're right. And Connie's the other way. Mom's the other way. She's like, I don't want to go back to that place.
There's a pond there with fish.
Exactly. Anyway, while nostalgia... sorry. I got to get through this. While nostalgia is a big part of it, there's another reason. It's called volitional reconsumption, which you'll never remember, but let me explain it.
Yeah.
According to the business school of Pepperdine, the rewatching experience allows people to appreciate how much they've grown. How does this work? When you make a deep connection to a show, a book, or a vacation spot, you probably have a moment where you think, wow, when I first watched this, I was 20 and now I'm 40. I have kids. Or I remember coming to this place when I was in high school and now I'm here with my spouse. It allows you to appreciate how far you've come.
Yeah, so I love rewatching the shows and movies that I watch as a kid.
Look at how popular Friends and Seinfeld are right now.
Yeah, they're comforting. They make you relive the time of your life that you watch them. So I absolutely get that. I also like going back to the same vacation spot because I know what to expect, and it's the memory of it, like this is talking about, is just as exciting as the experience that I'm going to get to have. I feel settled. Nothing feels that out of the ordinary. This is why people have vacation homes, because they like to go to one place over and over and over again.
Yep.
I get it.
Yeah, I absolutely do. And you know, I'm going to go watch Gladiator.
For the 900th time? Look at how far you've come. You watched it last week, and you're watching it again this week.
That's very funny. Let's see if we can't find a little more willpower to help us stick to a healthy eating plan. All you have to do, apparently, according to the Journal of Marketing Research, is just turn up the lights more often. Now, they studied hundreds of restaurant customers, and the result, those eating in brightly lit rooms were up to 25% more likely to order healthy meals like vegetables, salads, and grilled fish. They also ate 40% fewer calories compared to those who ate in a dark, romantically lit restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
It turns out that bright lighting makes our brain more aware of what we're doing, which increases the odds we'll make healthier food choices. Plus, it's the spotlight effect. Being in a brightly lit setting makes people think that they're being looked at more closely, so we tend to eat better in case anybody is looking and judging us. Now, I've got some pretty powerful TV lights. I think that's what it would take
for me to
stop eating.
Yeah. Put those in the kitchen. Put those in the pantry next to the
Milano
cookies.
No, I don't want any food.
Yeah. Put those next to the Milano cookies, and the next time you're you're going to be less likely to eat them.
It will take more than that.
Yeah. But this makes sense. Look, it's that thing. It's you feel exposed, you feel seen, and you're going to make different choices. It's the same reason why when we order on the app, in our phone, we order 1,500 more calories than if we actually order from a human being.
Yep.
Because we feel judged. And so feeling judged, not a great thing overall, but if you're trying to shrink your waistline, if you're trying to watch what you eat, sometimes it helps to have that little extra boost of willpower. I mean, think about salad restaurants. Salad restaurants, there's one by my house, brightly lit, bright colors. It's like walking into a white room in a movie for like a science lab.
Yeah.
But then romantic restaurants like pasta, it's all candlelight and you know, low light.
Yeah, and whenever I'm in a restaurant now, most restaurants, I have to bring a big flashlight because I can't see the menu.
Right, and then you're going to order a ton of food.
Again, if you need to stick to a healthy eating plan, turn up the lights. So just yesterday, we were getting ready for the show, and I looked over and I didn't see Gib at his microphone. He likes to stand up when we're doing this. And I looked over there, I didn't see him, like, but I heard something. I looked down, he was in a plank position on the floor.
Yep.
And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just doing a 60-second plank. And so I look it up, I wanted to know if there was any good to it because I didn't really want to do it.
Yep.
And it turns out, boy, are you right. You can improve your health in 60 seconds by just doing a plank, according to Dr. Sherry Pagodo, professor of medicine at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. You got to call her and tell her what happened.
Yeah.
She says planks target your abs and your lower back, strengthening your core and making your spine more stable, which helps you avoid injuries and pain. If you can't hold it for a minute at first, try 20 seconds, and I'm sure a lot of people know what a plank is. Can you describe it?
Yeah, so a plank is where I do it on my elbows. I do a low plank. You can do a high plank, which is where you're on your hands, and you're on your feet. Basically, you're in a push-up position.
Right.
But I go down to my elbows in a push-up position, and you just hold it. And you hold it for as long as you can.
And you keep your back straight.
You keep your back straight, and you engage your core, which, you hold your stomach in. You kind of flex like you're about to get punched in the stomach. And you hold your body as still as possible. You can do a little bit. There's dynamic planking where you move and get other parts of your abdominals, like your obliques and stuff. But that's it. That's all there is to it. And it basically strengthens the fulcrum, the part of your body that you use for leverage in every activity that you do. It's why it's so good for you. Work your way up to a minute. The minute is a sort of a magic number of health benefits. And then once you've spent all the time it takes to work up to a minute, and you know how hard that is, do yourself a favor and look up the world record for the longest plank. It will astonish you. It's like 8+ hours.
Oh, no, come on.
It is. It's an ex-Marine.
Yeah. Basically, you can improve your health in just 60 seconds by doing a plank. And before I bring you this next piece, Gib, I was just thinking, you know, why is it that the number one food ordered in, you know, Uber Eats and all the rest of that stuff and Grubhub is pizza? Because for some reason, pizza just makes us feel better.
It really,
even if you're studying late at night, you know, when you were in college, you always order pizza. Now we know why, because the University of Pennsylvania is saying it's about the tomatoes.
So that's what it's about.
So they say
not the cheese and the bread, it's the tomatoes, everybody. You're all much healthier than you thought.
I'll never get through this. The compound lycopene in tomatoes helps calm the amygdala. There it is. Yeah, it's the amygdala, the area of the brain that controls anxiety. So the more tomatoes you eat, the happier you'll be. And remember this, when tomatoes are cooked, the lycopene is 4 times easier to absorb.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's all about the tomatoes.
Good for you for having the tomato sauce. Now everybody that ordered the pesto pizza is feeling a little bit bad.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, like a chicken pesto pizza.
Oh, why wouldn't you? Wow.
Yeah. So okay. Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but it's delicious. But yeah. So tomato sauce, obviously, you know, Italians have known this for a very long time. It's comforting. It reminds me of being a kid. So I feel calm and better when I have it. I will say, that is 0% of the reason why I like pizza. The cheese and the bread are doing a lot of the heavy lifting there. In fact, sometimes I'll get the cheesy bread and skip the pizza and then dip in the tomato sauce and just eat the cheesy bread sometimes. So I get it.
Yeah, listen, I have a second generation Italian in my house.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think more tomatoes is going to help.
She can't possibly consume more tomatoes without getting sick. And
how about some more lycopene, honey?
Yeah, just give it to inject it into her somehow.
If you'd like to feel calmer, eat more tomatoes. You heard it here first. I bring this story to you, Gib, after a full hour driving to see your daughter play soccer yesterday. And I was in charge of holding Leroy the dog, who does not like the car.
He hates the car.
Just panting, and it's terrible, you know. And I'm holding him. We bought him one of those Thunder shirts, which like squeezes him, and then he's just like
he pants even more because he can't breathe under the weight of the shirt.
Yeah. So studies show at least half of all dogs experience noise-related phobias at some point, which can cause them to do what Leroy did, and shake and everything. He was doing all that stuff. So just like humans use exposure therapy to overcome phobias, dog behaviorist Jenny Harlow recommends desensitization training.
Okay.
This is a lot of work. It's where you play recordings of loud noises at very low volume at first and then gradually increase the volume over time as your dog learns that the noise won't hurt them. She says if your dog continues to show signs of stress, give them a comforting toy to chew on and reassure them. I guarantee you I tried all this stuff.
So you have to titrate it in, right? So that's the key. Yeah. We've tried a lot of things.
I'm inviting her to my house.
On a one-hour car ride. But what we need to do is the 5 minutes of just putting him in the car and holding him. It's the slow exposure therapy. If you have a dog that's afraid of you, it's about, almost going to be the 4th of July. Starting in May, you should start playing SWAT, the DVD for the movie SWAT, on your TV, because there's a lot of loud gun noises, and the dogs will get used to that, and then just slowly increase the volume, put in a surround sound system in your house, and thing you know, July 4th comes around, your dog is fine.
Or get a chihuahua. I don't know. I need the dog whisperer. Do you have that number?
Actually, I bet you I can get Cesar Millan's number.
Okay, because I think that's the only thing that's going to work. This is a great idea, Jenny, though. We appreciate it. The psychology of dogs and noises. And coming up, how guacamole can amp up our brain power and why so many people today are embracing something known as the spontaneous vacation. Those stories are more coming right up. But first, this. When you have a moment, please visit Tesh.com. This is where you can get access to my music and live concerts and also find out about my new online piano course, the John Tesh Piano Method. Plus, you can join me for my weekly VIP coaching. The John Tesh VIP coaching program is an opportunity for you to get personal coaching from me in a small group environment. You get strategies plus encouragement and accountability. Plus, live weekly Zoom calls, everything you need to create the next chapter in your life. It's all waiting for you at Tesh.com. Let's talk brain power, Gib. All you have to do to increase it is eat more avocado, also known as guacamole. Research at East Carolina University found avocados contain high levels of vitamin K and pantothenic acid, a nutritional 1-2 punch, the researchers say, that improves communication between your neurons and boosts production of dopamine, which boosts focus. After eating just half an avocado a day for a week, your risk of brain fog and memory lapses will be cut in half. I wonder if the chips counteract any of this. I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the chips are the part of the avocado consumption.
How many
that is
of
the
those
bad.
Chips did we have last night?
We had a lot of chips.
They had the big giant chips.
Yes.
What was that?
It's their hip way of differentiating themselves. And we don't have just regular chips. We have the full round tortillas that have been fried.
Yeah.
It was fine. Okay, but the avocado is good for you. So keep this in mind. Your brain is just this lump of fat, of fatty acid sitting in a saline solution.
Ooh,
so
gosh.
Fat and salt, your brain needs actually a lot of that. Your brain needs it. It consumes it. It's good for you. This is the key to a healthy brain are these good fats. It's the unheated olive oil. It's the avocados. These are the kinds of things that will help insulate your brain from the deterioration that comes with age. It's why the low fat trends have actually made us more likely to have brain issues
right.
as we age
yep.
because we replaced fat with sugar.
Yes.
And that's just inflammation. The fat actually protects your brain.
That's really well said. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how guac increases your brain power. So Gib, you know me, I like to have something to look forward to, especially a vacation. So even if it's just a weekend vacation, we've talked about how much more powerful just having a couple of short vacations and instead of maybe one big long thing that's
so
expensive. But now there's a new travel trend called spontaneous travel, and I would love this. They're vacations that are planned in as little as a day, and experts say it could be better for your mental health. So psychologist Emma Kenny has weighed in on this. She has extensive research on the happiness benefits of travel. She says last-minute trips offer surprisingly less stress because most travel sites offer packages that already include airfare, hotels, even an itinerary of things to do. So all you got to do is just pack your bags and take off. And spontaneous travel experiences tend to be the most fulfilling. Dr. Kenny says that when we're forced to break out of our comfort zone, so traveling without a lot of research, It builds stronger resilience.
Yeah, I mean,
pick the right country.
Yes, it definitely builds stronger resilience because you're like, well, I have no idea where I'm going. I better be okay.
What does this say? Hostile?
Look, exactly. Look, I applaud anybody who has the kind of life where you can, in a day, decide that you're going to go take a trip, but with childcare and sports schedules and school schedules and all that. I don't think I could pull this off. But I will say the concept of just, you know what I need right now? A vacation. And then boom, you go and you set it up. Sounds really appealing.
You could pull it off. Don't just, you do it and don't tell your family. They would love that.
Oh yeah. Everybody loves it when dad just disappears for a week.
No. I mean, you're taking them with you.
Okay. I was like, well, you know, that sounds great. I'll be in Vegas. I'll see you guys later.
And whether you're on vacation, Gib, or you're at home, there's some interesting intel that we just found about when to eat your meals. Eating your meals and snacks at the same time every day, even on weekends, could be the key to much better health. First, it helps you sleep better. This is according to the journal Cell Metabolism. Turns out they say eating erratically upsets our body's sleep-wake cycle and causes something called metabolic jet lag, which can leave you tossing and turning all night. But eating at about the same time every day helps keep our blood sugar and energy levels steady. Also, a study in Public Health Nutrition found that people who ate at least two meals a day at a specific time consumed less fast food and fewer sugary drinks without trying. This is you. I pretty much just eat the whole day, but you're able to fast for, what is it, 16 hours a day?
We've 18 about hours this. A day. Yeah. I eat basically my first bite of food at 1 or 2 p.m. almost every single day. Right. But this is just another thing that underscores how important habit and regular behavior is for your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, it works to wait to eat until the afternoon. It helps me with, you know, limit the number of calories that I eat because I'm a grazer like you are. All of a sudden, I will have eaten 2,000 calories just in nuts alone while I walk around looking for something else to eat. So I intermittent fasting works for me for that. But like, look, going to bed and waking up at the same time, eating at the same time,
yeah,
doing certain activities like making your bed at the same time every day, brushing your teeth at the same time, it puts your brain into autopilot on the things that are going to make you healthier and actually frees you up to think creatively and make better decisions throughout the day. It's something we report on in every aspect, and now we know feeding at the right time, at the same time every day, is just another element of that.
Like he said, eating your meals and your snacks at the same time every day, even on weekends, is the key to better health. Let's talk about some workplace intel. Gib, according to research from Columbia University, people who work from home wearing something comfortable, they feel more authentic, quote-unquote, engaged and present in their tasks. And here's a surprise. People who wear business clothing at home don't feel any more powerful or in control.
Why?
We're also more upbeat when we're wearing comfy clothes, since we tend to adopt the attitude of the clothes we're wearing. Again, this is from a study from Columbia. But we've seen previous studies that say you need to dress up like you're at work.
Yeah, I mean, so I think if you want to treat your workday like a workday, you need to have work sweats. Right, I remember in the height of the pandemic, I had my sleep sweats, my hangout sweats, and my work sweats. And yeah, not the healthiest I've ever been in my life, but I will say that, you know, having those transitions and I stayed comfortable the whole time was good for my mental health. Just be able to change my pants from one activity to the other was good. I recommend this, and this works for me, especially if you have to be on Zoom or for meetings. Put something a little bit more presentable on the top. And then on the bottom, you wear, you know, basketball shorts or whatever, you know, sweats. You and I, we live in athleisure wear. We live in athleisure wear every time. When we're not on stage, we're wearing athleisure wear. And that works for us. And it also feels like work clothes now at this point. So it works for me. And I understand that being your authentic self is important. So if the new study says we're just as productive, I say let's embrace the athleisure lifestyle.
It sounds like the description of the mullet, right? It's a party on the top.
Business up front, party in the back. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is business
collared up. Collared shirt up top.
Right.
Sweatpants and leggings on the bottom.
There you go. That's all we've got for you today. Thank you so much for listening to the John Tesh Podcast with Gib Gerard. As always, we'd love it if you would make sure you're subscribed to this show, and we do love your reviews. Please remember to check out Tesh.com when you have a moment. We're really proud of our new online piano course, and I'd love for you to take a look inside. That's at Tesh.com. Until then, I'm John Tesh. For Gib Gerard, we will see you next time.